You are now listening to the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network.
When I think about Vidtober, I think about you. When I think about Vidtober, do you think about me too? I put in the tape. I pop my popcorn. I push play on the tape and I sit down for some fun. Vidtober, Vidtober, will you come over? Vidtober, Vidtober, I want to watch this video with you. Vidtober, Vidtober, thinking about you, are you thinking about me? Vidtober, Vidtober, can't wait till you're over.
Music.
Welcome to New World Pictures Podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures and New World Video. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
Every movie.
And Erica.
I'm just out in the woods. Who doesn't like being out in the woods? Who doesn't like being out in the woods?
Me. So I don't. Like being out in the woods.
You don't like it. Yeah, I don't either. Mm-hmm.
Just going to sing songs out about it and keep my distance.
And I know this is going to be disappointing for my co-hosts, but we are at the end of Vidtober 2, where we celebrate. Where I'm leaning into it, guys. It's the insert, I'm just leaning in. Just know I'm leaning in.
Insert sound clip of crying here.
Yes.
We are celebrating the movies released by New World Video, but specifically the Canadian movies released by New World Video. And joining us is somebody who has joined us before to talk about Canadian movies released by New World Video. Our returning guest, Dan Gorman, is joining us for this episode.
Every movie.
Every movie.
Yep. You feel my plight.
Yeah, I like the name of the month because a toonie is also exactly how much it costs to buy a bag of milk here.
So it comes in bags. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, a bag of milk is such a versatile beverage, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it a large bag or a tiny bag?
It's big. They come in a bag, and inside that bag is three bags of milk.
Wow.
Like individual servings?
They're like individual things, and you have to have this is old hat for Canadians, but then you have to have a jug to put that bag into as you use it.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
They also have those in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Okay.
What?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. You're closer to Canada in Wisconsin.
I mean, closer than Southern California? Yes.
For sure. Yes, Mark.
This is not the geography podcast. This is
Yes, Mark.
I stopped doing that one. I had to stop it.
Well, you guys were assholes. All you did is make fun of the fact that nobody knew their geography. It does wear thin.
It does.
Well,
listenership was down, and we kind of all went our separate ways. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about this movie.
That's it. Dan, I'm sure, knows his geography because he's from Canada, so he knows.
Yeah, totally. And you know, like, up's not north. It's a different thing. down and south are different. I get it.
Yeah, you get it. Mm-hmm. You get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to need to know your geography for our final selection of Vidtober 2. You're really going to need to know your way and navigate, because we're going to talk about 1972's Caged Terror.
Oh, so many bird sounds. Love it.
This was such a good part.
It was the part.
Between this and Running Water.
Yes, that's right. There is no trailer for Cage Terror. That's just walking through a park in British Columbia. That is just real sounds because there's no terror for no trailer for 1972's Cage Terror, aka Golden Apples of the Sun, aka Ever After All. Brought to you by Harmonizing. A new album brought to you by two random dudes you met in the woods. There's nothing quite like the soothing sound of two guys you don't know harmonizing a sweet folk song just as soon as you've met them.
Yeah.
No matter how dangerous a situation may seem, harmonizing makes it all seem perfectly okay because no one would possibly kill you if they know how to sing.
That's what I was about to say. Nobody who can sing could be evil.
That's right. It's just a universal truth that none of us can deny. So pick up Harmonizing today.
Charles Manson?
Well, I don't know his harmonies, oh,
fair,
Mark.
Fair.
Now, I know none of us knew this movie. Dan, were you aware of this movie?
I mean, I was aware of it in so far that I knew of the cover, the VHS tape. I knew because I had read about it on Canucksploitation.com ages ago that it was one of those movies from Canada where people involved were from the NFB, from the world of like producing documentaries. Like I think I had read their review years gone by and kind of had that little nugget in my mind that like, oh, this is going to be like a weird movie because it's like made by these documentarian types. And but I didn't really put two and two together, I don't think, until I actually sat down to watch it. The vast chasm that exists between this art on the VHS and the movie itself.
Yeah. We've had a few movies, in fact, the last maybe three movies that have all been put out had wildly different covers than what happened in the movie. Even Mr. Nice Guy, which is not at all, it's just a guy with a bunch of props and stuff. It's not at all the movie. But you're right. Yeah. This is directed by Barry Angus MacLean, who had been trained at the National Film Board of Canada. And that is where Keeping Track director Robin Spry got his start as well. Mm-hmm. And this is likely the first narrative movie from MacLean, who also co-wrote, co-edited, and co-produced this with Kristen Weingartner.
Yeah.
And they went, at least MacLean went on to like do animation, some other things. Weingartner never did anything else. This was it. Moved on.
Yeah. And that kind of like pipeline, you know, NFB to filmmaking mainstream pipeline, like was totally a thing. And I know that there's like names like Sidney J. Fury and stuff. Like people came out of the NFB and did non-documentary things. And that's like a big part of like Canadian film history is like, you know, going down the road, it has a documentarian NFB, you know, cinema verite, like eye and stuff. And they were going for something like that, I guess, with this.
Yeah. So, but you're saying that the people, the Canadians would know, like somebody who started in the NFB, like there's like a quality to that kind of work that you would associate with it.
Yeah. And I think this movie has that. It's just also barely a movie.
I mean, I would say I don't know what that NFB thing is, but I would say this movie has a lot of it.
Yeah.
It has a ton of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, if you want to watch this movie, you can watch it on YouTube. That's where it is. That's basically the only place it is.
Yeah.
You can pick up the VHS if you want. It's pretty expensive. Or you can just go to YouTube. But now it's time to talk about what this movie is about. Mark, what is Cage Terror about?
You know, sometimes a coworker asks you to hang out and you're like, well, this could be cool. You know, they seem like a pretty cool person. And I have always wanted to get in with those cool people in the accounting department. And, you know, most of the time, you know, you go out for a couple beers, maybe you go out for a weekend of barbecues, hanging out together, and everything's cool. But sometimes hanging out with your coworker turns out to be way different than you expected. And
yeah,
it makes that return to work on Monday real awkward.
How was your weekend?
Yeah.
Good. Has Jan come in yet?
Yeah. So should we invite Jan to lunch?
Have you talked to Jan? Because all right, Dan, what is this movie about?
I mean, I'm just glad. I'm not sure exactly what it's about, but I'm glad that there is a movie that accurately captures a, you know, a thing that happens in every Canadian's life, which is when we go up to the cabin, we always stop for a blood fuck. Like, that's just Canadiana. I was like, oh, okay, they nailed it.
Yeah. Blood fuck.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You know, like when I go on like hikes, sometimes you're like, oh, they're just having a blood fuck. Don't bother them right now. They're just dousing each other in the blood of a rabbit in the throes of exit. It's fine. It's Canada.
That is what people do. That is what people do. This wow. is it's great. This has been such a great cultural exchange this month for us.
Yeah. Milk bags, blood. Yeah, of course.
I've learned a lot.
We're learning a lot. Erica, what is Cage Terror about?
What my takeaway on this was, it wasn't until I worked at Rye Busters that I wanted to show a coworker my titties. So I can't, looking back at all the many different jobs that I've had, there wasn't one that I really wanted to be topless at. You know, and even being topless at Rye Busters is a challenge because we do have some minors who work here also. So yeah, I'd be really careful.
It's challenging.
You know.
But nudity is required to work in my in-home video
There is a minimum amount of nudity required at Rye Busters.
There is no maximum, but there is a minimum. Well, for me, it's very simple. This movie to me was about, you don't mess with another man's rabbit. Mm-hmm. You don't do it.
No.
So I know we're not in final questions.
No.
But Dan, does that mean that caged rabbit was being held maybe possibly for a future blood fuck?
Because I mean, we, you know, are resourceful up here. So
Yeah. Got to have most one likely. Ready.
Yeah.
Or maybe the rabbit was kinky and he volunteered. We may never know.
Who knows? Here's the Letterboxd synopsis. Now, Dan, I know you were on Letterboxd.
Yep.
You've been on for a long time.
I have, yeah. Long time user.
Every time I think, this one's going to be obscure. I'm going to go to it. There's your review.
Like, this fucking loser's seen it.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm like, you have really seen it all. It's amazing. But here is a Letterboxd synopsis. So follow Dan there. Follow us there if you would like. But this is great because what the Letterboxd synopsis is actually the back of the New World Video box, which is perfect. So here we go. Behind these bars lies an unbridled fury.
Oh, okay.
Talking about like bar chords on a guitar, right? Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep.
Got it. Yep, okay. That's right. Okay. They're right. Not wrong.
Cage Terror, a tale of madness, infidelity, and revenge. I mean, I can't refute exactly the infidelity, but I also don't know. I don't think so, but I can't totally refute it.
Right. Revenge. Yes.
Revenge. Sure. Check. Madness. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Madness. Definitely. Yeah. Nothing makes you crazier than the woods. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on. You just go out there to get nuts. You don't go out there to chill. That's a misconception. People are like, go to the woods and relax. Like, no, go to the woods and go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone needs to get away from it all. and the country is the most tranquil place to escape life's everyday battles. Or is it? Richard, Richard and Janet, a city couple. No, they're not. Mm. They're coworkers.
No. Yeah.
Find that just the opposite is true as their weekend getaway is transformed into a frightening and primitive wilderness.
Wait, it was transformed into a wilderness?
It says transformed into a wilderness. I'm like, no, they went to the wilderness.
Right. Right.
We had a great weekend planned at a cafe and restaurant and a movie, and all of a sudden we were in the wilderness. This weekend got transformed. It's like
that's the equivalent of saying, how was your weekend? It was good. It was transformed into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what?
Are you saying you went to the beach? What a weird way to say that.
No, I'm not.
I'm not. No, I said it's transformed into the beach, and that's what I mean, and that's what I'm going to say. Good day.
Also, I say good day now.
Good day. I also say good day. I don't with
not
I don't
good
say,
day. It is good, good day. Apostrophe
it's
day.
Good day. Good day. Good day.
This weekend changed me.
You went to the Australian Ocean? Nope. Good day.
Also, you haven't seen Richard around, have you?
Have you seen Richard? Has he come in? I really. Whatever you said is a lie. Camping for the night in a seemingly abandoned farmhouse, the two are suddenly joined by strangers who have been
seemingly
abandoned. Yes.
That, okay. I don't know what the requirement is to count something as abandoned,
right.
But pretty confident you can say that one's
abandoned. A house. No one's in it. I guess it's been abandoned. Let's hang out.
There was an apple. So,
right. Yes.
Yeah.
If by having an empty house and finding it means that it's abandoned, then sure. If that's all it requires is there's just no one
but
inside.
But there was talk, I'm jumping ahead, of a person who died there recently.
Yeah.
So
abandoned by death.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. That's one way to get out of a house.
My bad.
Yeah.
Camping for the night. Oh, okay. In the farmhouse, I said the two are suddenly joined by strangers who have been secretly watching them all afternoon. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Strangers who will soon cage Richard like a trapped animal and ravage his wife.
Oh, spoiler. They're
married.
Whoa.
They're not married. They're not married.
They got married in between you reading Cutscene Couple.
Wow.
That's what the blood, that's what covering her in rabbit blood was all about. Mm-hmm. That was actually an ancient marriage ritual.
Yeah. No, that's just how we get married up here.
You have a blood fuck and then you just get married. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I would have been so pissed that rabbit blood was in my hair. I'm just going to put that out there.
Oh,
I would have been so mad.
Oh,
all the things I hated. How dare he put that on her beautifully blown out, straightened hair? How dare.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been so pissed.
We have one more sentence. Here we go.
Oh my God. We're still not done.
We're still not done. This is the back of the box. They're like, please rent this. Please to God, rent this. We are going to write everything we possibly can for you to rent this. Strangers who will drive Richard berserk in the cold and inhuman isolation of caged terror.
I mean, that's the whole movie.
Yeah.
They describe the entire movie.
That is it.
Yeah. And I will say, like I alluded to earlier, I do want to throw this movie's hat into the ring of the, like, I mean, in the history of VHS, you know, there's so many, like, misleading covers and box arts.
Yes.
And although that description is exactly what happens in the movie too, with some lies about them being a couple and a few other things, they're spicing it up and trying to make it sound exciting. But I cannot imagine like a 13-year-old or somebody or something like going to the store and being like, cage terror, there's a cage and a lady on the cover, I'm going to rent this movie. Like the gap between that and what this movie is so incredibly wide. Like they would have turned it off in like 15 minutes. I'm like, this is a nature documentary. Like what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. I went up to the video store. I grabbed this movie. I was so stoked. I grabbed a bag of milk. I went home.
Yeah, exactly.
I put my milk in a jug, and then I was just like, kick ass, here we go. I'm going to sip some milk and watch this crazy horror movie.
Even if you were expecting, like, Deliverance or a Canadian movie like Rituals or Trapped or like something in the realm of what it could even potentially look like, it's still so far from that.
It really, really is. Because as we said, they are not married. They're coworkers. And the beginning of the movie sets us up with just him asking her to go with him to the woods. And while this happens very quickly, he also like kind of traps her into it in a way. Mm-hmm. He just won't let her say no. He keeps calling her. He has no game.
Yeah.
Richard has no game. He's like, please, are you going to come? Are you going to go?
No Riz. It's Riz, Ryan. God.
Sorry. Yes. No Riz.
Get
Riz.
With the times.
Yeah, please.
youths everywhere are just infuriated that I just said Riz. Mm-hmm. And youths probably and infuriated. Probably mad about all of it. If a young person is listening to this, thank you.
You were tricked by the description as well, and you were like, I heard they're talking about a really cool movie.
Got him.
And he gets a coworker to go with him out into the woods, and then they hang out in the woods. I mean, I don't know what else to say. This is the movie. They hang out in the woods for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, and he's got that, you know, really my preferred camping gear on, you know, beige corduroy pants and a beige blazer, because really there's nothing better to go camping in. Mm-hmm. It's comfortable. It hides dirt and grime.
Yeah.
And if you get invited to one of those formal campfires, you want to be prepared. You want to be dressed appropriately. And so that it covers all the bases, really.
Yeah. And I will say that this first chunk of the movie was actually most interesting to me in a weird way.
Okay.
Go on.
So I'm watching it and I'm going like, oh, it would be actually kind of nice to see this movie restored, because clearly these are people who know nature documentaries. There's a lot of things in NFB in Canada. Like there's this series called Hinterland's Who's Who about like animals in the woods and stuff. There's a lot of like nature documentarianism going on up here. And at first I was kind of like, okay, there's this kind of pretentious opening where they're talking about like, there's a radio thing and getting away from the city, and he has this weird thing with the coworker and they go, but there's kind of like a interesting nature documentary meets like, I don't know. There was like a vibe to it where I was like, this is kind of like, it looks like it has beautiful cinematography, but it's kind of unsettling, 'cause I don't understand what's going on here for the first, you know, like 15, 20 minutes. And I was kind of enjoying that. Like, it was sort of interesting. I was like, I wonder what's going to happen. And, you know, maybe if the movie made some sense later, or like had interesting things happen later, maybe I would have liked it more. But I was kind of at first interested in following it, even just as a kind of like weird pseudo nature documentary, like them just walking around in the woods. I was kind of on board for at first. Mm-hmm. But they really drag it out.
You had the 15 minutes of going, I wonder where this will go.
Yeah.
And but five minutes of that 15 minutes is him dead stick fishing for trout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's literally 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. And then he catches some fish. He shoots a rabbit.
Mm-hmm. They argue.
They argue a bit. They have this combo here.
Richard, why did you kill those fish?
Hmm?
They were so beautiful.
Wait till you taste them. I think we were doing the fish a favor. You saw how small they were. There are too many fish to survive in this stream. We've got to take some of them out, and the rest, the larger ones, have a better chance of living. The only ones we caught were the stupid ones.
Size doesn't have anything to do with it. I mean, just because I'm smaller than you, does that mean that I enjoy life less?
Don't attribute human feelings to fish. They haven't got them.
I'm talking about my feelings and your feelings.
So, couple questions. How's this date going?
Yeah.
They're both tripping balls, right?
Yeah.
They have to be. I refuse to believe they are not on mushrooms or acid in the woods on this trip. I refuse to believe it.
Yeah, the only scene that they didn't show was them taking ayahuasca. That was the only thing they left out. That's the only thing that hit the cutting
room floor. Be.
Yeah. And I feel like at this point in the movie, I'm still kind of on board. I'm kind of like, okay, it's kind of clearly pretentious, and they're just going to like talk about a bunch of sort of, I don't know, like essay, you know, here's my dissertation on nature or whatever, man and stuff. Like, that's all kind of stupid, but I was going like, okay, they're like talking about this stuff and they're going to set up, you know, this is going to lead to some kind of
deliverance-esque
kind of like thing.
That was your first mistake, Dan, thinking that any of this was leading to anything.
Yeah, yeah. And even up until there's a point later where they like think they're being watched, and I was like, oh, whoa, this is getting kind of creepy. Maybe it's going to get good, but oh, yeah.
Yep. No. Nope. Yeah, also, are you guys terrified yet? Because, like, I mean... Huh? Got some fish?
Yes, because imagine being on a date with a coworker.
Oh my god.
And you like didn't wear a bra. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, I don't know, I'm not wearing a bra. It's the woods. Like, we'll see what happens. And so you're like hoping for something good. And then this motherfucker sits down to catch you the tiniest ass trout.
Yeah.
And you're high as a fucking kite in the woods, and you're like, this is how we're going to eat? You didn't even like bake any bread or bring some fucking sandwich? I have to sit here and wait for you to catch these fish?
Yeah.
I'm high as a kite right now.
Doesn't he also later talk about, am I remembering correctly or not, but doesn't he go like, oh yeah, the bones, you can just chew them up or something?
Yes.
Like
that.
Yes, that's later on. Yes. Yeah.
He gets around the fact that he hasn't deboned the fish by being like, oh, when the fish are this small, the bones are soft. I was like, that's not how bones work.
But that's plausible. What's not plausible is he didn't gut the fish before he cooked them.
Right. Yeah.
That is disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You roll them up. There's a lot of process of rolling those fish.
But they cover the rolling, and I'm like, nope, these have not been filleted at all. I mean, you can cook them with the bones in it, but you got to take the guts out.
And again, like, I kind of, the process of everything, I almost enjoyed the, like, over like coverage of everything. It's like,
I need to see him.
Roll up the first fish and then the second fish, and then he grabbed three fish and he rolled three of them out. Like, there's a part of that I kind of enjoy, because I really do like documentaries where I like a lot of like Frederick Wiseman documentaries, where it's like, I'm gonna watch a 4-hour documentary about like a library and I'm just gonna see everything about this. And so, like, to that extent, I was like into some of that, but then there's other scenes where it's like, just tie him up. Can we not watch?
Oh my god, that entire process. Worst tie up ever. God.
Yeah, like for any moment that you had been like, God, they really got that person tied up real quick, and whatever action movie you were watching, I'll never have a complaint again.
Yeah,
it
was like, I know. Opposite.
Because it was like, no, it takes a while to tie up a human. I know, but we're in a movie. I don't come here for you to show me how the reality is.
Listen, I just want to say that Ryan said, I know, three times.
Yeah.
He said it very confidently that he knows how to tie someone up.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you see someone getting tied up for 10 minutes, you realize how many opportunities there are for you to get out of being tied up. And I thought, if you're not even trying, I kind of think you want to get tied up.
Yeah.
Like, this is part of your kink. And so you're like,
I
mean, I'm going to complain about it because I don't want to seem like a weirdo, but I'm also kind of into it.
Yeah. He's like a kid on like the playground who's like poking the bully and be like, don't beat me up.
Right, exactly.
You can't catch me.
Yeah. Don't beat me up till later today after school at 3 o'clock out in front. Don't you dare beat me up.
Plus, Ryan, you mentioned that he didn't have any riz, but I do give him some credit that not only did he convince a coworker to go on this camping trip with him, but he also convinced her to go like right after work.
Like,
they didn't pack shit.
Did she bring that poncho with her to work, or
So she went braless to work? What an absolute queen. I'm doing everything wrong.
She could have popped it off in the car, though. There's an opportunity there. But
yeah,
they did not pack anything for this trip.
No, they did not, including anything to actually get food.
Including salt.
No salt, I was going
to
say that.
No salt. No salt. Not to belabor the fish, but frankly, there's... We're gonna run out of things to talk about very quickly. But when he first pulled that fish and he was taking the hook out of the little fish's mouth, I actually thought he was putting the hook in somehow, because I was thinking that that was bait. Because I was like, oh, he's gonna catch something. He's just using a little fish to catch a big fish. That okay. Yeah. I'm not a much of a fisherman, but then he actually gets the hook out and it's like, oh no. Oh, that's what he caught.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think there's even a shot of him like picking like a grub up off the ground. Like that, he's just like picking the bait up off the ground. Like a true outdoorsman.
But to be fair, he is so high at that point that the fish looked giant in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, delicious fish.
Shit. We'll eat this for days, man. Holy moly.
If only I brought my Polaroid, I would hold it above my head so you could take a picture.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Or even just a boat.
Yeah.
Eventually, they do have some fun. Erica was talking about it. They have a little fun. They do a little skinny dipping. And then he starts kissing her boobs for... And I don't want to exaggerate. I know we've been talking about how this movie goes on, so I don't want to exaggerate. But 45 minutes that he kisses her boobs. That is not a rough estimate. That's an exact time measurement. And it's so long that she falls asleep.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah,
it's too much.
It's,
you gotta
she was
you
like,
gotta move around.
You are concentrating on one area, dude. I'm out.
I know this isn't fun. The porno cast. That's totally different, and I don't know that any of us are on that one. And I don't need to know, but it's too much.
It's too much, dude.
It's
too much.
Move
too
around.
Much.
Move around. Yeah. Even for someone who's high, move around, dog. Come on.
Totally. And it also seems like the filmmakers are again trying to do something here, because they're like, what if we shoot this, you know, scene? What if we shoot the like body as a landscape, and I'm gonna like, you know, like go up the knee or something, and it's gonna not look like a knee, it looks like a mountain, or like I'm gonna treat it that way. And you're like, okay, but then again, you're like, but now it's also just a shot of a guy's face beside a nipple for like 10 minutes. It's kind of like, I don't understand what you're doing.
Which normally I'm into, but this one just dragged on way too long.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I think, literally the first time in this podcast we've ever been like, too much boob kissing.
Stop it.
We're good.
Yeah. Does the titty count? But the titty rest too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't there also a shot of like that when they kiss, of him like licking around? And I was like, this is not okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
He's a gross kisser. That might have been his first kiss. It was bad. It was bad. What if this was the first time he had ever seen a boob? Let me put that out
that's
there.
That's why he sat there for so long.
Well, that's the thing.
What is that?
I think this,
I think this actually more is your theory about how high they are, because he's just like, I never just give a boob this much attention. You know what I mean? Like, boobs are great. And he's just like, I really want to just examine this one boob, man. Like, he just...
One could argue that we've already spent too much time on this one boob. Okay?
It's true. It's true. Well, it is two-thirds of the movie. So, frankly,
sure.
I mean, you know, I mean, we had to talk about it. In order to break her sleep that she gets into, a deep, deep sleep, he just drips rabbit blood on her and smears it all over her face. As Erica said earlier, that would be a huge deal breaker for me. And also, I think this is when I started to go, what is this movie? Because the fact that she doesn't leap up and go, what the hell are you doing, ever?
Yeah.
Not even in that moment, but also later? Because, I don't know, she's maybe narcoleptic? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but like, even later, she's not like, so dude, why did you drip blood all over me? What was that about? We are coworkers.
Her and I seem different. her and I seem different because if I'm dead asleep and someone pours rabbit blood on me to wake me up, that's not gonna end well.
It's not gonna go. It's not gonna go quietly.
Mm-mm. No, it's not gonna result in a fun naked romp afterwards. That's for sure. All hell will break loose.
I was almost wondering, like, is this like a dream? Is this even real at this point now? Like, are we crossing over into, you know,
magic realism or something?
Filmmaking?
You know,
Yeah, because they then proceed to have sex, and then she, while on top of him, spots a guy watching them, and that guy he disappears, and not in a runs away kind of way. He literally disappears, and they just proceed to go wash off in the river.
Yeah.
I would have at least been curious, who is this magical man that just was spotted me and is now running off? Now, I would also be thinking the sooner I can get the rabbit blood off me, the better. But, you know, I would take a beat to try to figure out what the heck just happened.
Or was he just looking at them going, oh, shit. He might also want a blood fuck. Because this is like a thing that happens in Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, oh, okay. Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. I was only going to do one. I was only going to have one blood fuck. It's not looking for to have two. It was not ready for two.
Yeah.
It did make me think, though, as this was happening, so much of their conversation, even this weird happenstance and him pouring blood on her. I'm like, do they like each other? Do they even like each other?
They seem to not like each other.
No.
They seem to get into like philosophical arguments all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they come across a cabin and they do some more arguing. Eventually, she goes upstairs with the sound of bugs cranked so high that that's where I started to think, are we in a horror movie? Because that's one thing that happens whenever a fly enters it, is that the sound of the fly is extremely intense. And that's what happens in this. But she just gets bad vibes from it. And she goes back down and tries to talk to Richard about it.
I saw something upstairs and now it's gone. There was an apple upstairs on the windowsill. It was a fresh one and it's not there anymore.
Not there. There are apples all over this place, Jen. There's a tree out back. You probably saw one of those.
I know, but I saw it and it's not there anymore.
Well, maybe a squirrel took it away. I saw one running across the roof with something in its mouth.
Maybe we could leave right after we eat. I really don't want to stay here. I think there's someone in the house.
Jan, look, you're safer in the woods than you are in the city. Besides, we've got the gun.
Let's eat outside.
Now, I got to give her credit. That was a very calm, measured dialogue for tripping balls as bad as she is. I got to give her credit for that.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that's like A+ like gaslighting from him. He's just like, wait, there's apples everywhere, idiot. Like,
he's coming down.
Squirrel.
He's coming down off his trip,
right?
Yeah. And you know she is still in the thick of it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, he's already had the blood fuck, so he's also like, you don't got anything on me. I do whatever I want now. We've already done it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Now let's go eat some unsalted eggs.
Let's go eat some fish bones and guts.
I mean, it's the traditional shore lunch fish fries, some trout and pomegranate. Everyone knows that. That's what everyone brings on a fishing trip.
Delish.
I know we're not at things we hated, but the way they ate that pomegranate infuriated me. I was like, this is not a fruit that you cut into slices. That's not how this one works.
It was his first kiss. It was his first pomegranate. God. There was a lot of firsts on this trip.
A lot of firsts. Yeah. A lot of firsts.
He's got cutting it into slices like, oh, this one's getting away from me. Why is it doing this? It's rolling apart. What's happening?
Oh, there's a. Do you eat the seeds? Do you eat these little seeds? That's what you eat?
All
there's
seeds.
Nothing left in here. I don't understand.
So they're in this cabin. She's getting the bad vibes. They go outside and they meet these two men, one of whom is wearing an army jacket. And it's interesting reading a couple reviews of this. It seems like the fact that one of the guys is in the army, they're like, I guess that he's supposed to be in the U.S. Army. I mean, it says U.S. Army on the jacket. They're not hiding that. But it seems to be a point of confusion for a few of the reviews I read. Mm-hmm. And they talk about the war, which, of course, they talked about a little bit in the beginning because we're still sort of at the tail end of the Vietnam War. And but there's some weird thing here where I wonder if there is some commentary on America.
Yeah.
Ooh, Ryan's trip is starting, y'all.
I'm just getting paranoid, y'all. I don't know.
How is the ground down there, man? I do think that, yeah, they like make a point to kind of say like, oh, your hair's too long to have just gotten out of the military. And I think there's other reviews that mention that character as maybe having like dodged the war or something.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely a lot of reviews that mention like, I think they're talking about like America coming into Canada and like, you know, treating us and our land poorly. And I think there's a bit of that in Paul's review on Canucksploitation.
Okay.
I think maybe it is something that people pick up on because it is like NFB and the nature thriller is such a thing for Canadian filmmaking. And because I think that this movie,
such like Deadly Harvest, which we've already covered on the mm-hmm. podcast.
I think that maybe on a script level, this movie had it all there, but like it on the screen, it feels like they are just sort of grasping. It's like, okay, we're doing nature stuff. We're doing, you know, this guy is going to kind of like take advantage of somebody. You know, we're doing the nature versus the city. You're safer here than the city. No, you're not actually, because these guys are going to, you know, it's just, but it seems so haphazard. It seems so mm-hmm. like vague.
Mm-hmm. And I heard you mention a script. So you think there was a script for this movie? Because I think, was there, or was this just the trip? The trip was the script, you guys. The trip was the script.
It was it was a leaflet. Even a script can take leaflet form.
But it was a brochure.
It's also worth mentioning that when the two guys meet them at the cabin, for those who are maybe considering watching this movie, that takes place at the 56 minute mark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of 76.
Yeah. Right. So we don't really introduce tension until we're in the last third of this movie.
Oh, yeah. And even then, tension?
Right. I'm saying they're introducing it. I'm not saying that it qualifies.
They're suggesting it.
I would say that, like, not much happens till maybe the last 10 minutes. And there's so little things happening that's maybe why that army jacket gets so much discussion. Mm-hmm. Because there's just there's so few details. Mm-hmm. In the entire movie that you're just like, well, that seems significant only because there's only a handful of things that even happen in this movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's something real or not, but it doesn't seem like they really do much with it. But then they don't do a whole lot with any of it.
Yeah. And it does seem like, okay, what's your target? Like, is it the yuppie guy, you know, the guy who thinks that like he can go to the woods and take care of everything and that he's going to tell you everything's okay out here, but you know, it's better out here than in the city? Or is it like America coming in? Or, you know, like there's all these different things that it doesn't really pick one. And I mean, you could be about a lot of different things, but it just doesn't seem like this movie is about a lot of different things.
Were the filmmakers super high when they made this too? I mean, I feel like that's, undoubtedly, but
I don't mean, I know we're not at final questions, but we're also led to believe that these two guys made it out to this abandoned house in the middle of the woods on a blue moped.
Just the two guys riding on it, two dudes.
Was that their moped? Or was that their cage bunny? That could have been all from the dead guy. And how did the dead guy die? Probably from those two guys. Guys, everybody just pick up your guitars and let's sing through this. We're gonna harmonize. I'm gonna go high. Yeah. Mark's gonna go middle. Ryan's gonna go low. Let's go.
We haven't mentioned all the folk music.
Yeah, we have that much. We haven't.
We haven't.
But there is some, and we will get to it.
Okay.
But I have one last. I think there's one other confounding thing. I don't know.
Oh my God, did we not finish the Letterbox synopsis? Oh Jesus. Okay, still, what was it?
We still have to finish it.
Two more paragraphs. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's a long back of the box. They're like, you're not going to get everybody with a couple paragraphs. You're really going to have to do. You got to do an essay. You got to do a solid five. Okay. You got to have your thesis. You got to be able to build on it. Anyway, there's one thing that I just don't know, having watched it a couple times. When they settle in at the night and the singers mm-hmm. have left, he can hear them chatting nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And I know because of Erica does not like being disturbed in her sleep. When somebody makes noise and you're trying to sleep, it can bother people greatly. They can get really upset. But he goes down and he takes his gun and he just fires out into the sky.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why?
I don't know why he did that either. And I was like reading reviews where they recapped that part too, mm-hmm. where they were like, he hears them and he goes and fires a shot at them. And I was like, when I watched the movie, I kind of almost missed it. I was like, what happened? What did he do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess he shot out at like, why? Like, mm-hmm. yeah.
And then he like goes back to bed and sleeps a real sleep and she can't even get him up because mm-hmm. then they're like, oh shit, he fired at us. I mean, we should go get him now because that's fucked.
Which he does it every night before bed. He takes his gun out and he fires and he's like, okay, now I can sleep.
I mean, I can weigh in. As someone who probably, I wouldn't be surprised if I did something similar. Did you guys want me to weigh in or
Sure, of course.
Yeah, I mean, when you are a person who loves sleep so much that the anger of a thousand suns fills you with rage upon someone or something waking you up.
Yep.
You make choices because you're like, I'm fucking awake, so here we go. And you're like, I'm gonna, you know, do something about this. And so you go and do it. And it's not always the right choice. And even sometimes in the choice that you're making, you can catch yourself. And so you're like, you know, got my fucking gun, I'm gonna kill whoever's woken me up. And then you're like, I'm not gonna murder someone. I just want to go back to sleep. I just want to stop this noise. Kapow. All right. I've done it. Back to sleep. It's a real ride. It's a real roller coaster ride.
But I think just to add to that, Erica, as someone who does not sleep very well, you know, I'm very aware of the waking up at 3:30, being wide awake, knowing that my alarm's going to go off at 5:30 and really getting the deepest sleep between 5:15 and 5:30. So I can understand.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're like, I'm never going to get to sleep. I'm never going to get to sleep. And then I am out like a light for that beautiful 15 minutes before I have to get up.
Oh, yeah, man.
I know this isn't the sleep cast, but I just want to add to that. I have made some of the best decisions and some of the worst decisions when I've either woken myself up or something's woken me up. Best decision, the other night I woke up, oh my God, I realized all this delicious pork that we had slow cooked for like 24 hours was left out and not put back in the refrigerator. And I woke up in the middle of the night and went and packaged it up and put it in the fridge. Best I was woken up decision ever.
Yeah.
Worst decision woken up ever. Maybe Ryan could keep me honest on this because I don't remember most of the conversations when it's not great.
They don't go well.
I yell at some member of my family or I lock a dog up in the kitchen.
Mostly it's that.
Yeah.
And I don't know it until the next day when a dog is now suddenly trapped in the kitchen and I'm like, uh-oh, somebody was making noise, I guess. I think, though, he could have avoided a lot of it if he had just, even, I don't think he should have fired the gun. But if you fire the gun and then just been like, shut up. Like,
said something.
So they knew it was like a warning shot. But the shot is it's a little much. It's a little, it's a little extreme.
Yeah.
But I don't, it's a imagine bad move if he yelled, and it doesn't
like,
go well.
Shut up. I'm trying to get some with a coworker. They would have been like, got it. Oh, our bad. Our bad. We will take this conversation to another abandoned building in these woods.
It's a very confusing move, and I gotta say, I didn't love it.
You didn't love it, but you also said you didn't hate it. So I think, listeners, that it's time for things we love. And things we hated.
That's right. We're going to talk about the things we love and things we hated about Cage Terror. Mark, what did you love?
I loved that you had these two guys who have been riding on a moped, going out into the middle of the woods, walking around, spying on people. And when they meet up and whip out the guitar, they don't have to spend the first 5 minutes going, bing, 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 bing. Hold on. I'm going to get to the song. Bing, 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 bing. Almost. I'm almost in tune. I almost got it. That thing was ready to play.
He was ready. He was ready.
We were tuned and ready to go.
Oh, shit. I got to tune this into D minor. I'm so sorry. Hold on one second.
Hold on. Hit the tuning fork. Hit the tuning fork, troubadour. We got a bing, 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 bing.
He's like, actually, okay. This song's a little ahead of its time. I'm going to go drop D. Some new metal in 1973.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. Dan, what did you love?
I mean, I don't know if I loved it, but I will say that I think that there was stuff about this movie that I enjoyed. Like I was saying earlier, I think for a brief amount of time, there's like a weird NFB ASMR nature like vibe. And mm-hmm. I would still be interested in seeing the cinematography of this movie and seeing what it would look like not on a VHS released by New World.
Like also ripped from a VHS, probably copied mm-hmm. over a couple times. Like it's not yeah. a great looking copy that's yeah. out there.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's something interesting there visually. I think if there was anything about this movie that I like enjoyed, it was that I could see that this would be interesting to watch, you know, on the actual like an actual print or an actual restoration. Now, is this movie something that would be worth restoring? I mean, all movies are worth it, but I don't know. Like, yeah, you know that this would be something that, like, Vinegar Syndrome would put out, and they'd put a crazy cover on it and then dupe everyone all over again. So, right? Mm-hmm. I don't
know. Mm-hmm. You're like, Cage Terror, I don't know, man. That'd be kind of, like, that backwoods. That could be good. Yeah, like, I don't yeah. know. That could be cool mm-hmm. stuff. And you're like, it's not. And it's you're going to get fooled.
Yeah.
Erica, what did you love?
I talked about a couple of things that I already loved. I do love the
you love
idea
that, she, that you love that she didn't wear a bra.
I love that. I love that for anyone. I love that for any lady. I think one thing that I didn't mention that I loved was when, you know, a little bit ahead to the end, was that really the ending is left kind of up in the air. And normally that very much upsets me for movies. Mm-hmm. But because this one was such a weird ride, to your point, Dan, that I was like, okay, what's going to come out of this? Like, was that a dream? Is she going to go off with the three guys? Mm-hmm. And she sort of comes back, but you don't really get to see anything beyond that.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think I would like to see this restored. It made me think, like, should I remake this one too? In addition to steaming and having
ask
be
about
like
that steaming project, yeah,
yeah, it's coming along slowly okay. but surely. Still very much in the works. Okay. Let me know if you're, I mean, I don't want to digress here, but are you interested in being in it? I
no, but oh,
okay,
like producer credit.
Yeah,
you got
executive
it.
Executive producer
you got
credit.
You gotta
have,
there's got to be a lot of dongs it. In it, so you got to help us rank.
I need a lot of dongs. I need a yeah. real. I need a
and
real.
We probably need a blood fucking somewhere in it. Now that
of
we
course.
Know.
Well, about I mean, of course
that.
We can, do now.
I can find that for
now.
You. Yeah. Yeah, I'll walk down the street. It's happening somewhere.
Yeah, I want to coin the phrase dongvalanche. Because it's going to be an avalanche of dongs, or maybe a schlongvalanche. We'll see. I'm still working on that.
It's a very much still in the workshop works. Process, yeah.
But I think it would be interesting to see this kind of cleaned up. And there is that one spooky moment where you see the face and it disappears so fast, like yeah. so unrealistically fast that I think that's what kind of keeps you, at least that's what kept me locked in, was like, ooh, well, what else? And it made me really kind of pay attention in a way that I don't always pay attention with other movies, because I was like, ooh, if I don't like really pay attention, I'm going to miss something.
But you have a feeling like you might.
It makes you feel like you might. But you don't. I also think it would be fun to watch this movie with a bunch of people high as a kite.
Yeah.
Just going to put that out there.
The dialogue, it has like really choice dialogue of like crazy things and a lot of like ridiculous, like what the hell's going on moments that happen like out of nowhere, like the blood and
It's got some weird stuff in it. And everybody can chit chat in between anything happening, which is good.
Yeah.
Because you're going to make it more social. All right, things I loved. Well, it's time we talk about that music. Because besides the moment when Richard goes through the forest and clearly gives the inspiration for Adam Sandler with his little voice that he makes up. There also is this soothing little song that is played.
I went out to the hazelwood because a fire was in my head, and cotton peeled a hazel wand and hooked a berry to a thread. And when white moths were on the wing and moth-like stars were flickering out, I dropped a berry in a stream and caught a little silver trout. And when I had laid it on...
That's actually Derek Lamb. I don't know if that's an original song, but he's the one singing it. And he was actually a producer for NFB. He was actually an animation producer from like the 70s into the 80s and did a lot of like animation stuff throughout his life. But he also, at one point, he did do like a folk album in 1962. Mm. Which was a bunch of, tracks of old folk songs. So he also did some music. So that's this is a movie that also has tons of other music, because also the guy who wrote the regular music is Galt McDermott, who actually did the musical Hair. He wrote the music for Hair. So a lot of the other tracks that are throughout the movie are actually some pretty sweet jams.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, it's got some pretty good tracks here. And so it's got some great music.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and that song is interesting because they play it and it's the one we just played. They play it and they're just sort of impressing the couple. And then it's played later after something has finally happened in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has then a much darker tone to it.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that, like, it just seemed like, oh, what a nice song these two gentlemen are singing. And then you hear it again and you're like, ooh, oh, now this doesn't feel as nice at all.
Yeah.
So
they're going for something with this movie. They really were trying a number of different things.
Mm-hmm. And also not trying a bunch of things.
Do you think that all of them going on, like many of these people going on to work in animation, they were like, we're going to make this movie, and then after we shoot it, we're going to like put a lot of cool animation over it. And then they were like, oh crap, we don't have enough time to do that. Just release it without the animation.
I think that they did this. They shot this, and I think they did shoot it over a long period of time. And I think they were probably like, oh man, I got so many bug bites, and like it was just shitty being out in the woods, and I hate it. Let's just do cartoons. That's easy. You can sit in a room.
Yeah. Stay home.
Why go out and shoot stuff out in the world? Screw that. So that's a guess. All right, let's switch to things we hated. Mark, what did you hate?
Well, I hated a lot of the music in this movie.
I'll
give you that the folk songs were interesting, and I don't know how they would have written it before, since the lyrics are absolutely describing things that happened that day in the movie.
Oh, okay.
But the songs seemed a little out of step with the early 1970s. It felt more like 1962 than 72.
Sure.
But early on in the movie, when Richard is fishing, this is the music that's being played.
Yeah, it's good. This hauls. What's the problem?
Well, here's the problem. Really quickly, for those of you, we should put the porno cast. We have a new episode. This just reminds me.
So, what bothered me was, as many people in my life know, my love for Napoleon Dynamite knows no bounds. And when I heard that, I couldn't help but also think of. From Napoleon Dynamite. And I thought that first song is like a really shitty version of this song.
I think the first one's better.
Oh.
No. He's done.
He's out.
We're talking about like authenticity of the first one versus like, you know, not bad. But
Mark's trip
I'm
has
doing
taken a dark turn.
He does not like the music, and you cannot like it. You're not allowed to like it.
Fair.
All right, Dan, what did you hate?
Oh, man. What did I hate? I mean, I didn't love this movie. There was a lot. I had a very fraught relationship with this movie. There was things that I found interesting, and it was very
also boring.
This movie
has a very
boring.
Fraught relationship with itself.
I think so. I guess I hated, like, you know, seeing the fish get hooks in their mouth and the rabbit covered in blood. And you go like, is that rabbit okay? Hope they didn't murder a rabbit for this stupid movie.
I don't think so.
It seems like it was breathing.
Yeah. They had a live rabbit, and I think they had a very fake rabbit that he shoots. Yeah. So I don't think we have to worry about that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's probably it.
That's fair.
Erica, what did you hate?
I hated that we didn't really get to see more of the cabin. You know, there was still a couple probably there inches was. Here and Mother there room. That they hadn't fully
Maybe
explored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really almost looked in every nook and cranny, even inside the little teapot or the kettle, whatever you want to call it. No, I think for me, what I hated the most was the quality of it, you know, that we mentioned already, that it's, you know, a rip of a VHS uploaded to YouTube. So it's not great. It's just hard to see. And I think that would take a lot of people out of it watching it. I think that was a big problem for me. And especially when it gets to the scenes when it's nighttime, it's like nearly impossible.
They have like one light.
Anything.
They have one light.
It's very hard.
Very hard to see anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did discover about halfway through watching it, there is another copy on YouTube using the original name that is slightly better.
Oh,
I didn't see that.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't see that either. Oh, that's cool. Well, what a weird time to bring that up, Mark. Yeah. Gee, thanks.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow, way to last 10 minutes. Just drop in some action. Good job.
Yeah.
Cool.
You really were influenced.
10 minutes of the episode.
Really,
yeah. Boy.
Really influenced by this movie.
Oh, I thought of another thing I hated. That.
Yeah. Jesus, Mark.
I did also think of another thing I hated. When he's eating the eggs, he like drops egg all over him. I was like, come on, you messy fucking.
Yeah.
Get it together.
I also hated that in the beginning, they're listening to this authority talking, or, you know, someone who's a scientist or someone who's talking about the city.
Mm.
And he says, instead of abhorrent, he says, it's aberrant. I'm like, if someone can't pronounce abhorrent, they're disqualified. You can just be like trying to switch the channel because that's a real mess.
In Canada, we'll let anyone on the radio.
Yeah, I my thing I hated was just what Mark was saying. It was not the abhorrent pronunciation, but it was just that beginning opening part. It seems to set things up that it doesn't. Like, it's setting the stage of, like, nature or, like, war and all these things that, like, I'm like, we don't even need it. Honestly, We don't even need the setup that he's trying to get her to go with him to the woods. Just show up and they're in the woods. Like, we don't even need all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's so unnecessary and probably was one of the, I have to imagine, the more difficult parts of the shoot, just because they probably didn't get any permits. They just went out into the woods and shot stuff and probably weren't bothered by many people. But like going and shooting in the city, shooting the people's cars, like that's probably a little bit more difficult. And I'm like, you didn't even need to do any of it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't need it.
Yeah.
We didn't need it. It was just unnecessary. And it just ends up making it feel like, was that supposed to mean anything? Was that supposed to like tell you anything? It doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's switch to our favorite scene. Mark, what was your favorite scene?
I know because of a little insider information that my favorite scene is the same as your favorite scene. So I'm just going to go ahead and let you take that.
So there's a scene where they are eating. And we've discussed many parts of this scene where they're eating, because, again, it's something that actually happens in this movie. But they have this small little philosophical chat. And I'm going to play it in two parts so we don't listen to the entire thing. But here's the first small philosophical moment as they're eating a pomegranate. And Janet says this.
Everything that you do just sweeps me along, so. And yet there's no one part of it that I find beautiful. And yet here I am, in spite of myself, and in spite of the fish, and in spite of the blood, and in spite of the pomegranate.
Yeah, and so she's mentioned that, and you're like, interesting. And then here's Richard's response.
Here you are. We've eaten the trout. It's part of us now. We contain the pomegranate. And soon it, too, will be part of you and me. Beauty does sweep on, cruelly. It's the action, the flow. It gives us grace. Gotta go take a crap.
She's like really upset.
Yeah.
It's like, sounds like she's like crying.
She's crying. And he's like, yeah. I got shit.
Yeah.
What was that scene even about? What are you even doing?
I love
doing?
It so much.
It's so
I love
good.
It so much, too, because they, both of them, take their time.
Time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just wonder, was that direction of, this is an emotional scene, and really, I want you to like think through this and
don't rush
take,
it.
Take, don't rush, don't rush it.
Yeah,
don't rush the moment. Really, let the moment build. Or were they just like, listen, we need like 8 more minutes out of this movie, so could you please say the lines slowly?
Yeah. I think that was just their lunch in between takes, and you know, they happened to be rolling, and then that's what exactly happened. That's just what they were talking about that day.
And they're like, you didn't turn the cameras off? Oh man. And then they got it developed, and they were like, wait a minute,
this is gold.
Hold on a minute. Yeah, that line just made me laugh so much. I was like, I needed it. I mean, this is at literally at minute 50. We still haven't met the other half of the cast, and I'm like, I really needed this moment to happen.
Yeah,
in between what you don't really hear, because I cut, if you can believe it, I actually cut chunks of those scenes out, was it just him cutting the pomegranate into like orange slices.
Mm-hmm. Into slices.
Yeah, slices, which is infuriating.
Still so mad about that.
So if anything, you could say the scenes in this movie are both something you could love and something you could absolutely hate in equal regard.
Yep.
But Dan, what was your favorite scene?
Well, that was maybe my favorite scene, but I also really enjoyed something that happened off screen. It was like over at New World Video headquarters when the person was making the VHS tape art, and they were like, okay, I've called it Cage Terror. I have a lady on the cover. She's behind barbed wire. experience the cold and inhumane isolation of cage terror. I've got this great write-up and these pictures that make it seem like it's going to be something that it's not, but I need the cherry on top. And so they're like sitting at their, you know, drafting table and just thinking, and then they go, yes. And they write, this video cassette contains violence and nudity on it in big letters underneath the text. This is going to get these kids to pick this up. And they're like, this has violence and nudity. We have to rent this. And then they get home and it's just like earth-shatteringly disappointing.
I have to imagine, like, even at like that young age, you're like, all he does is kiss her boob forever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the violence is animal violence, not cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. There's 35 minutes of trying to tie up a guy. So there is that.
Yeah. Because I feel like they don't put that on all of New World videos. I own New World videos. They don't say, don't worry, this has it.
They were just like, oh, that was one of those middle, woke up in the middle of the night going, oh crap. Maybe it's not enough. Maybe it's not enough. I need more. This needs more.
You're not going to be disappointed. I will tell you, there is violence and nudity.
What's funny is that the box art for Playgirl Killer, which is like two people like half dressed, you can't even see their faces. And they're like holding each other like in the throes of passion, you would think. And he's got holding a knife behind her. And I put that up on Blue Sky to promote the episode. And Blue Sky, just in its algorithm or whatever it's set up for the posts, was like flagged it as something that would have adult content. And they were like, so you can't see it unless you press and accept it. Mm-hmm. And I keep trying to like appeal. I'm like, this was, and my appeal was, this was the cover of a VHS that faced out towards customers in the 1980s. This is not lurid in any way. People can watch this. This is not purient, you know, art. This is just a box trying to get you to rent it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has not worked yet.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the box of that now, and on it in the same place on the back, it says, some material may not be suitable for children. So they knew they didn't have to sell that one as hard.
Right. Right. Yeah. That one was also title, you know, Playgirl Killer. You're
exactly.
Like, is he killing playgirls? Ooh, he's not. That's not what the movie is. But anyway, Erica, your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was towards the end when it's dark. We've watched a very long tie up. And I think it's just a scene that I would like to call the please scene.
Please. Please. Please don't. Please. 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 Please.
Still going. Still, please.
Please. Please. Please. Please.
Yeah.
Please.
Still pleasing.
Please. Please.
The looks he has.
Please.
Yeah, the looks, you know, like you can hear in his head going, director hasn't said cut yet. I guess
how
I gotta
keep
going.
How many more ways can I say this? Yeah. I already said it in my crazy voice.
And you can also tell that, like, yet again, this is a scene where they are reaching for something where they're like, you're so upset. But then over the course of the scene, we're going to have to start to question, are you in now? Are you not? Now are you liking it? Are you enjoying it? And it's like, it's so weird. Yeah.
Yeah. It goes on for such a long time.
Their direction was just say please a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. We'll use one of, I don't know which one we'll use. Just do a bunch of them. And then they were like, oh, we're at 70 minutes. Like, we need a minute of him saying please, because we just need another minute to even get us to like feature length.
Yeah,
we gotta put all the pleases in there. We just have to. I was gonna use one, maybe two, but we gotta use them all.
Yep. Love it.
All right, let's go to our final questions. Here are our final questions for Cage Terror. Have you ever picked up a half-eaten apple that wasn't yours?
And thrown it in the trash, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I picked up a lot of half-eaten things that aren't mine. We have kids and dogs.
Right,
yeah.
So right.
I pick up stuff all the time that wasn't mine.
In a strange house?
It feels strange here sometimes.
Yeah. All right.
I'm Canadian and we're so polite, so we do it all the time. We're just garbage. I'm just gonna start cleaning up.
What a clean so that kind. Whole cabin.
Exactly. Nice.
Yeah. They, whoever isn't here and doesn't own this place will want that. Mm-hmm. If you don't hear what someone said, what are you supposed to say other than what?
Please. 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 I think you're supposed to say please 17 times.
What's so funny is your mom absolutely does do that, Erica.
Mm-hmm.
When she doesn't hear you, she goes, please. She mm-hmm. absolutely does that, which is funny.
And I've heard her say that my entire life. And I still am like, huh? Like when she says please, then I'm like, what? So nothing is resolved. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And she's like, please? I'm like, huh?
Oh, I just love that that was her complaint. Like, I wish you would stop saying what when you can't hear what I said. What else are you supposed to say? Is there something? I don't know. Anyway, as first dates go, how do you think this one went?
Which date?
Yeah, for U.S. Army guy, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Not bad. Although I will say he does not have his CPR license at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Just saying.
No.
Like.
No.
Yeah.
He has only one step down.
Kiss the victim back to life.
For the guy with the guitar, they were like, "How's your weekend? Good to play my song for a bunch of people." And people dug it.
I think they liked it.
Yeah.
I think they liked it the second time.
Yeah. Yeah. They love the encore.
Only one of them seemingly was awake, but seemingly. as soon as someone introduces themselves as the troubadour, hi, I'm the troubadour. Like, that's a huge red flag, right?
Not if you're at the Renaissance Festival.
But outside of that one place.
That wasn't the question.
All right. So, lastly, does anyone ever kill that damn woodpecker?
No, and they better not.
I mean, that guy going to town that whole movie.
Yeah. Packing the shit out of some wood. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do some quick research here. Back in May 1971, there was notice that this movie was starting to go into production. Under its original title, Golden Apples of the Sun, is expected to cost $200,000. With money coming from the Robert Lawrence Productions, it was a Toronto commercial and industrial film house, and also Genden, a new production firm, which actress Genevieve Buchold has connections. They were talking again. They had already had Galt McDermott picked for it, and apparently National General Pictures, it's an American distributor, was going to put the movie out in the States. I could not find much evidence that they put that out in the States. Also, under what title? I don't know. I looked under all of them, but who knows? At the time, Robert Lawrence Productions, they'd also produced 1965's Winter Kept Us Warm. In the same year as this, they were working on a Muppet special, and they produced a TV show called Moment of Truth. And they were joining at the time with a joint venture with Canadian Cable Systems Limited. And the goal was to eventually be a place where they would make also movies, 35mm feature films and short subjects for distribution in theaters to Canada and the United States, which would eventually run on television, which at least this, I don't know how many movies they did. They did a couple, but this certainly fits that because it does go out a little bit into theaters, but mostly plays on TV. It opens this movie in June 1973 as Ever After All at the first International Film Festival on the Human Environment in Montreal in June 1973. So, plays then. hard to find notices of it playing many other theaters. I mean, God knows where it played at all. At that point, it was also called Ever After All, Golden Apples of the Sun. It's not, I don't believe, until 1986 and New World gets a hold of it, that it is now called Cage Terror. And I believe that is when that title comes into fruition. And it is released in August 1986 on VHS, along with Playgirl Killer.
No.
No wow. way.
Thanks, Canada.
Man, yeah. Canada double whammy.
Also released that month, Fire in the Night, Star Crystal, and Bliss.
Star Crystal.
Oh, man, Star Crystal's so good.
It is. Star Crystal is, talk about another movie that really takes a turn towards the end. Boy, that one does take a turn.
I love it. I was so excited when your episode came out. I was like, I gotta listen to this.
That's awesome. I'm glad there was literally one person who was like, oh, Star Crystal.
Peter Fluey just woke up, ran to the door, and shot a gun into the air. He's so excited to hear that.
Well, I mean, it takes such a wild turn. I mean, oh my God, all of a sudden, that last half hour is like pure wonderment. It's so good. Mm-hmm.
It's a delight. I saw it in high school. We rented it on VHS, and everyone hated it. But we always would just talk about like that movie where they play space chess with the alien at the end. And then yes. I watched it when I was older, and I was like, I think I love this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's such an alien ripoff for an hour, and then it's like all of a sudden E.T.?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. And lastly, just to end, a little bad IMDb trivia. According to IMDb, they say the title is taken from the William Butler Yeats poem, The Song of the Wandering Angus. Angus? Yeah. And that could be. But the thing is if you look up Golden Apples of the Sun, it's also the title of a Jody Collins album that came out in the 60s. Ray Bradbury wrote, an anthology book that also had that title. This was a title that when I saw Golden Apples of the Sun, I was like, oh my God. And then I looked it up and it was like so many other things popped up that were not this movie. Mm-hmm. It's very, very tough to get a search that would actually just be about the thing that I wanted it to be.
And the lyrics of that song that's sung in the movie are also from that poem.
I think
the movie was very like inspired from the poem, because they talk about like the fish and all the stuff that they do. So I think they were like, I like this poem, let's adapt it into a movie.
In the remake, it's going to be a rap, so just prepare yourselves for that. Good. It's going to be a rap.
No better. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, and we're going to call it Golden Apples, A-P-P-L-E-Z. It's going to be a double feech with steaming. It's going to be so good.
So good.
Z-teaming, though?
Yep. Steaming.
Well, that is it. That is Cage Terror. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Dan, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me back.
Thank you for diving in on this crazy movie that only Canada could have produced.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Where can people find you, please?
You can find me at thediscovertab.substack.com. I write a lot about music right now, but you can also find me on Letterboxd. My username is YCKMD_, or I think if you just type Dan Gorman in there, it'll come up too.
Cool.
Was that like an old like nickname or name that you came up with way back when that you just sort of followed you?
Yeah, like 20, 30 years ago.
Well, it is great having you back on the show. Thank you again for being here.
Thank you.
Yes,
it was great chatting with you and great seeing you again. If you have enjoyed this episode, you want to hear all of our other Vidtober 2 selections, go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes, including the first time Dan was on the show and we talked about Reno and the Doc. That's where you go. And you can hear our interviews. You can buy a t-shirt. That helps support the show. Also, tell a friend. Write a 5-star review. Those are all things that can help us. Otherwise, we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening. To hear more shows from the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network, please select the link in the description.
Are you a film fan who loves the ultimate home video experience? Look no further than The Disconnected. Your host, Ryan Verrill, is your go-to source for the latest and most accurate information on home video releases, exclusive interviews with industry insiders and filmmakers, and has established a thriving community where every film and physical media enthusiast feels welcome. From hidden gems to blockbuster hits, The Disconnected brings you insider knowledge and a welcoming space to share your love of cinema. Watch every Thursday night at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific for the live announcements show and follow The Disconnected on social media to stay updated. Subscribe to The Disconnected on YouTube or on the podcast provider of your choice and dive into a world where every movie night is an adventure.